There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Check 1, 2. Check, check. Episode 66. Episode Mario Lemieux. Season 3, The Intermission Podcast. Greg in studio. Justin in Thunder Bay. What's going on, my man? How's the week been? I mean, we're dealing with some serious sports right now, so we're going to get into it. It's a great episode ahead, but what's up, brother?
Not too much. Yeah, absolutely electric weekend of sports. Again, we talked about it a month ago now. It's the best time of the year for sports. No questions asked. We got all the playoffs and everything, but for me, yeah, back at Thunder Bay, back to work, back to the summer grind for hockey, getting in the gym, getting that program going. Skates aren't for 2 weeks, but starting that gym process, that journey there. So getting stronger, getting after it, and just getting ready for another big year. Senior year next year. One last rodeo here. So got to be ready to go.
You getting those protein shakes going or what? Like we're talking like you got to be getting 200 grams of protein a day, bud.
Had two today. I have one with breakfast and I have one with dinner right after the workout. So it's huge. Got a little sauna in post-workout. Feeling good right now.
That's 10 out of 10. I find when you're on the protein grind, which I do my best to mix in my protein because I'm a gym goer, but I find it can get gritty. If you're trying to supplement most of your protein, like say you have a couple meals throughout your day which weren't protein heavy and you're looking to get a couple shakes in, they can get heavy, man. And it's fair. It's a great grind to get those, to suck those things back at times.
For sure. I mean, we hammer them a lot. It's a lot of chicken breasts, clean chicken breasts, a lot of protein shakes. So it's part of the grind. You get used to them, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't play the athletics of a D1 hockey player, so I'm sure that you suck them down all year long, but listen, man, I do go to apologize to the listeners and the people that follow along with Live on the Line. I mean, I get the nod. So like I'm such a like minor league guy for them. Like, so like obviously yesterday was a holiday and I get a message from the producer and he's like, Greg, do you mind coming on? I'm like, yeah, you know, I obviously love the opportunity to go on TV and do a hit. But I always stress out, not only because, you know, the bets, whatever, okay, like, you know, you're gonna give out some losers, you're gonna give out some winners, and you want your narratives to be on point. But man, I hate the fact that it's like, okay, I think the logical bet was to bet on the Carolina Hurricanes, which we'll get into all of this. Was that not the logical money? Was like, okay, Carolina's going to get back in this series. Road teams have been on fire. And anyway, and then the Toronto Blue Jays are dead to me, man. They are shit right now, which we'll get into. But I apologize for all the live and listeners. 1-for-4 on the bets. You hate to see it. Brutal.
Tough one. No bounce back.
No, exactly.
Hey, we got to get one more thing in the pregame show.
Yeah, what do you got?
Just touch on it quick. We don't have to dive into it too much, but we're 30 minutes out from our last Guess the Athlete Greg posted, and a little bit of action with the Drip King, Greg.
Yeah, the Drip King. I don't know much about him. I don't know much about his content. I know he goes live with Olivia Dunn, so he's got some status in the TikTok world.
Not bad.
In regard to calling yourself the Drip King, that's where I kind of draw the line, buddy. You're a D1 lacrosse player. Congratulations. That's amazing. It's, you know, it's a great accomplishment for yourself. If you do want to come play in the NLL, we do have a team here in Nova Scotia, so you're welcome to come join the Halifax Thunderbirds if you're that good. But yeah, I mean, wearing eye black all the time when you're not playing sports and calling yourself the Drip King when I doubt that you have the money to even buy drip. It crosses the line for me. So I don't have any beef with him. I do think he's a bit of a clown sometimes. So yeah, you know what? We'll see if we can have him on the podcast. We'll see, you know, we'll reach out to him, but I what I'm hearing from the comments is he's actually a half decent lacrosse player.
That's unreal. You know, don't know anything about him, obviously outside of his just content there, but, yeah, it'd be pretty cool to hear his story at least and see what he's up to and see you again. I don't even know. Like, a lot of these lacrosse guys, are they going to NLL? Like, because I don't know, like, the pay before, like, a few years ago.
I don't even know if that's a big accomplishment.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Like a lot of the guys in Halifax, they all work different jobs. Like guys are accountants and then they'll go play lacrosse. It's like, it's shitty, obviously.
Hey, he's making his bank. You got to give him credit at least for that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, anybody that has the opportunity to go live with Olivia Dunn, I mean, I'll tip my cap to. She's a smoke. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into episode 66, season 3. In quarter one, we're going to talk about the PGA Championship. I mean, that dominated my television Saturday and Sunday. I mean, a lot of Thursday and Friday, just a lot of following. When there's a big golf tournament, I mean, I should say I'm a degenerate golf gambler in the best of weeks. So I love when Thursday rolls around and there's a captivating tournament on the go and just checking in on leaderboard, seeing how guys are doing. But it's funny how meaningless Thursday is. In the grand scheme of things, I mean, in terms of betting, I had my lineup was fire on Thursday. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a lot of money this week. And then come Sunday afternoon, people are backdooring top tens, having great rounds on Sunday. It just changes so much. But you got to give it to Brooks Koepka. I mean, this guy is an absolute cold-blooded killer. And we saw this in 2018, 2019. He won two U.S. Opens and two PGA Championships in the span of 2.5 years. And he really... is just he steps on the scene, and when he's got his game, he can't be beat. And we look at the Masters, he had the lead going into the final round. It was a weird final round where they played the second half of their third round on Sunday. They ended up playing 30 holes on Sunday, and he ends up choking and losing by a couple, but he ran away with this, man. And man, one of the all-time greats. Nobody can take that away from him. He now has more majors than Rory and Jordan, dude.
Man, this guy loves this event, though, eh? Three PGA championships like that. This guy... for whatever reason, has it for this event, but it's crazy. Like, what is a comparison to another athlete that just he's got tour wins, but he doesn't, compared to Rory. He's got more majors than Rory, but PGA Tour wins, and I think just tour wins, he's like 20 behind him. So it's like, what is another comparison to an athlete that just shows up for the majors? Like, it's insane. We got Greg just guzzling down. Was that a full gallon? Is that a full gallon water jug right now?
4 liters. I got the jug on the go. Great deal. Great bargain if you're popping by the local convenience store. But yeah, who's a guy we can compare him to?
That just shows up in the most clutch.
It's
like only though.
I can't remember a guy. Like he has 4 PGA champ or PGA tour wins. Now he's got more wins in majors than he does in the actual tour. That's and he's said it before too, Justin. He doesn't give a flying fuck about regular PGA Tour events. He's all about the majors and he shows it. And you know what's scary is this guy's fully healthy and I fully expect him to be in the mix at the US Open. Like 1,000,000% he'll be there.
Man, I'm not saying this isn't a guarantee, but the way I'm watching this golf, I'm just seeing like 3 to 5 guys who are just separating themselves from the rest in terms of like, you can trust them every week. Obviously, when I say this, I'm John Rahm for me is one of them. Obviously,
yeah,
just a
didn't play
showing.
Well. Yeah,
but for these last two majors, I'm thinking it's Rahm, Scheffler, Rory, who we'll talk about here in a second.
Yep.
Koepka, obviously, and maybe Hovland's kind of finding a groove as a youngster here, who's kind of been showing lately. He's that guy in majors too, but outside those five, it's like throwing blindly at a dartboard. I feel like because everyone else is so up and down. Again, Rory, Rahm was this weekend, but again, you look at his last 2-3 years. That's not as much the case. Those five guys, though, right now are kind of the superstars, the studs right now of golf. Like JT and Spieth haven't been there in terms of how they've had their moments, but I feel like those five guys. Every single major and every single week they're in a tournament, they stand out to me. Is that far off?
No, that's fair to say. Especially majors as we're talking about. Like those are the guys. I mean, really, you can maybe throw Cam Smith in the mix. Like he had a slow start to the year. He said he didn't get many reps and he started to come on. He had a good Sunday, and I expect he's going to continue to trend. He's the defending champion at the Open, which will come in July, which I expect he'll be right back in the mix. And I think he'll have a better showing at the U.S. Open. But yeah, I mean, Koepka, Rahm, and Scheffler are the three that it's like, okay, one of those three is going to be in the final group on Sunday, it seems like. It's almost a lock. But man, go ahead, sorry.
No, just as you say it, Scheffler, one of the sneakiest second place finishes because of that final round. Like, I feel like after round two, people were like, okay, it's not Scheffler's tournament. No big deal. Man, this guy's so good. He just drops a minus five final round and has and just finishes second place, solo second place. It was within one stroke of him, of the leader at one point in this tournament. It was the final round.
It was the first time we've seen Scottie Scheffler struggle. Well, obviously in the rain on Saturday. Like, it's he wins the golf tournament if he doesn't play. Like, he shot 73 three over on Saturday, and he was... He looked awful. Like, he was grinding, and that was probably the best he could have shot that day. So he shoots an even par 70. Like, he wins this golf tournament. Scheffler, he gave it away. But, I mean, Koepka was just better all round long. And you got to feel for Hovland as well. I mean, on 16, Corey Connors did it on Saturday, which we'll get into Corey Connors in a bit. But they got into that bunker right on off the tee on 16 and just hit a rocket and just embedded in the bank. And it's like, well, there it is. That's a double bogey. And it really takes you out of contention. But, Brooks Koepka, I mean, to be the 20th player all time to win five major championships, you know, it's
crazy, man.
He's healthy now. He's 33. You got to think Jack Nicklaus's best years were between 30 and 40. Like, is this like, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy gets 10.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's that much of a killer.
People are going to overlook the Masters finish too. Like, this guy was leading going into final round, made some mistakes. Like, I said it on here. Like, I don't know that Ram went out and chased him down. I thought Koepka lost in the Masters.
Yep.
And Koepka said before this tournament or after round one, I learned from my Masters finish. It's like, this guy's been playing unreal golf. He had a hiccup at the Masters, but he was right there. He was right there at the Masters. A couple mistakes here and there from us sitting here saying, Koepka's just won the Masters and the PGA to open up this major season. That's how well he's playing, at least.
I'm gonna take Jordan Spieth out of this next little rant, because Jordan Spieth, he needed this tournament for the career Grand Slam. That history is just off the charts good. There's only been five players to ever win all four. So Jordan Spieth, there's that extra pressure. You know, and he played okay. He's coming off the wrist injury, skipped the Byron Nelson. But Tony Finau, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, the face of the PGA Tour, invisible. Show some stones and get in the mix. You guys, these are guys that are trying to build their legacy as historic golfers, and they just, I'll throw Max Homa in there as well. I mean, Max is, you know, just kind of coming onto the scene is one of the better players, but like, where are these guys? Are you not going to come compete in the majors? Like, it's unbelievable, really, and you hate to see
you're
it.
Right. I look at Tony Finau has two wins, one in the last three tournaments. He has four top 10s, 11 top 25s as I'm looking at it. He's number 12 in the world, and he shoots a plus 15. Like, the course is one test, and you could, I guess there's obviously the pitch of it doesn't suit the guy's game, the driver, whatever, like, was important this weekend, what have you. But the reason the top guys in the world are there every weekend is because they're able to be so solid, so consistent at every facet of the game. And Tony Finau was in a spot this tournament to say, you know what? I've kind of been that popular name on the PGA Tour, but I haven't vaulted myself into superstar or stardom status or faced the PGA. This season, he was showing like he can be. And then all of a sudden, he failed us. Okay, a quick intro here.
We got a little interruption here.
Is that a duet from Drip King?
So we got a duet from Drip King. It's we're talking like 60,000 views already from Mr. Drip King. So he's upset about it. You know what? I apologize to the Drip King if he's that hurt about it. But I'm just gonna comment and say, come on the pod. We'll discuss.
Bugs is on 45 minutes ago. Drip King throws. He replied. We might as well get into this here quick. He commented on the TikTok 6 minutes after it's posted, and 25 minutes after it's posted, he's doing a duet.
Yep.
You got a tag on there. That helps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what? It's obviously good traction.
He's got to be a fan of some degree here.
Oh, for sure.
Tears out at the end. Unreal.
I actually wouldn't mind trying to box this guy.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Craig.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that? How long would you need? If he agreed to that?
Four weeks, Gray. Yeah.
This guy's actively playing, and no disrespect to you, this guy's actively playing D1 lacrosse. You only need 4 weeks?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Greg's ready to let him rip.
I don't know. I don't think you understand my athletic capability, Justin.
I don't know that I do. No. In boxing, especially.
I'd have to lose some weight, probably, because I'm probably heavier. Like, I'm 6'3", 220. So, like, he's probably, I don't know. I don't know what he's weighing in at, but, like, are you kidding me? Dude, like, 100% I'd get in the ring with that guy.
Unbelievable. Hey, we'll see. Maybe we get him on. Maybe we talk to him, what have you, but...
Sorry about that interruption. I had to address it because I was getting a little bit of a blow up there. I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized he responded. So, where were we at with these top guys?
Let's close off PGA with Michael Block. How about that? Oh, what a guy. Hole in one, finishes 15th at the tournament. This guy is a club pro, and PGA does a great job. They allow these guys to qualify, etc., get onto the big events and such. And he qualified for this event, and he's worked at it and stuff like that. And now he's, with that finish, got himself an invite to the AT&T and the Canadian Open. And this guy's just, see the purse he brought in? $288,000.
So obviously the PGA of America runs this tournament. And so the PGA of America, all of the pros around at the clubs, they, whatever, the top 20 go to the tournament. But this isn't his first major. This is his seventh major. This guy is a player, man. This guy can play. And like we said on the previous episode, we talked about Michael and, you know, how much of an amazing story. Like, he was tied for 10th going into the weekend. Like, we're like, well, yeah. And he held in there. Like, he didn't choke. But Michael Block, I mean, this guy's been the player of the year in Southern California every single year from 2011 on, except for 2013. So that's like, what, 9 player of the year status in Southern California, which I'm assuming there's some serious club pros down in that area. I mean, that's a prime golf hub. I mean, and now he's just getting exemptions on tour. But like you said, I mean, like, you know, the hole in one, it's just such a story that is... They come around in sports, and that's why we love sports as well, is you get these stories that are so captivating and these moments that they're just fairy book stuff, fairy tale stuff. And Michael Block, man, like, let's get into it. Like, I know you and Arch, we talked about a little bit in the golf group. Like, what are your expectations for him over, like, he's going to have 3 out of 4 weeks on the PGA Tour. And I don't think we should set the expectation very high. Like, making the cut would be unbelievable.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the tough part is, like, you don't want to, how do I explain it? Okay, first of all, he said himself that he's beaten these PGA
plays with them all the time. Yeah.
Many time. Yeah. He said he plays them all the time and beats them all the time. So it's hard for me to sit here and say that this was his peak of golf performance, because we really don't know that. And the one thing I'll say, though, is he's been in 7 majors. Yes, his golf game could be getting better, obviously. But if this was his first time on tour and he was a younger guy, I'd be like, okay, wow, jumped on the scene, what have you. I struggle to think against the best players in the world, the guys who do it for a living. And I know he's a club pro for a living, and obviously he's golfing all the time. But the mental game of this, the high he was on during this tournament, the momentum he had that kind of helped him, kind of fell off in the 4th round. But he was kind of even par the whole way, so it was pretty consistent. Hitting a hole in one as well. Like, so much went right for him, and he had such a wave and momentum going. I don't know how long this could go. Can I see him have a successful, like, month here? Yes. But with that being said, it's making cuts. I'm not seeing him winning a tournament, not seeing him finishing top 5, though. That's my take.
Yeah.
I know. I think you're a little different on this.
Man, I would totally agree. Like, I think just watching him during this golf tournament, the shots he was making, the pressure he would have been under playing with those guys and Justin Rose and Rory on Saturday and Sunday, and for, like, that up and down on 18, like the shots, insane. The shot making is there. He just played.
Rory couldn't believe it. Rory couldn't believe that.
He just played the toughest golf course that they're going to play this year and beat, what, he beat Rom by, like, 9 shots, 10 shots?
Insane. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The best player in the world. Or
he wins golf tournaments left, right, and center in Southern California. And I know he hasn't had the road to the PGA Tour. He wasn't a prodigy, but it's like he belonged there. And I know he's played in past majors. He didn't make the cut. Nobody's heard of him, but we know golf, man. Like, we think about golf and, you know, think about Brooks Koepka in 2018, 2019. Think about Jordan Spieth in 2015, 2014, 2016. Like, you kind of get hot. You kind of feel your swing.
It is true.
You kind of, and I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, this week too, like, he's been on a complete media frenzy. He is the face right now of the PGA Tour, as funny as that sounds. He really is. Like, he's the most, you got Scheffler teeing it up this week, Finau, Spieth. The guy everybody wants to see play is Michael Block.
And here's my question though. Like, we talk about how much golf's a momentum game, but you look at Tony Finau. I brought him up. This guy has two wins. He has 11 or 12 top 25s, 10 top 10s, whatever. Like, he is hot. He's having a great season, and he hits a course like this for whatever reason. He doesn't have it. Like, what I'm asking.
When I talk you, hot is like wins, like humming at the top of the world, world number one heaters.
But that's what I'm asking. Like, can Michael Block go take this into next week, say? And if it doesn't show up for him next week and he misses a cut, like, is he going to be able to bounce back and show up at the Canadian Open? Or is it going to be something where it was a one-hit wonder situation, he had so much momentum? I hope he's there. I love this. This is an unreal story. But again, we're talking about something we don't see very often, where a guy who's not an everyday pro finished top 15 and all of a sudden he's got all this attention around him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we look ahead to it. Obviously, this week is the Charles Schwab Challenge. That name's changed a bunch, but it's at Colonial. It's a very famous tournament in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's funny because as I review the tape, as I review the metrics of the golf course, really plays into a favor like Michael Block. Not a very long course. You have to be accurate with your short irons and wedges. I mean, this is a very favorable golf course for a guy like Michael Block. He mentioned it in his interview after he got the call from Charles Schwab. An old friend always told me, it's an old guy's track. Like, this is for the guys who aren't bombers, who are accurate. So,
jeez. What's your ceiling? What's your ceiling and floor for your expectations for Block in that this weekend coming?
I think
the highest you can finish and the lowest you think is possible.
I think the ceiling for this guy is that he could win the golf tournament. He wins all the time. He plays with PGA players all the time, and he wins all the events he goes into as a professional in Southern California. He's a winner. I'm not going to take that away from him. I'm going to say that's his ceiling. His floor is obviously last. Like, there's every sort of outcome we could expect from this guy. We don't have no idea. True. We've seen him for 1 week, but I'm just taking in all of the outside accolades. I'm taking in the 4 days of golf. I just watched this guy put on a clinic at the toughest golf course. We had Joel Damon's caddy, Gino, who's famous from the Netflix series. He's a plus one handicap. He went out there and shot 86 on Monday. He's plus one.
Yeah.
He averages under par. Like, it's incredible how good this guy's playing. Yeah.
I just pulled up the Charles Schwab. I'm going to say that wrong every time. The field here. Here's what I got for the field. Scheffler.
Yep.
Spieth. We'll see if he stays in it, but Spieth. Hovland, Finau, Morikawa, Sungjae Im, Homa, Rose, Fleetwood, Sam Burns. Like, again, not Kitayama just came off of a, what, third, fourth?
Yeah, he's having a great year.
Again, we're talking about guys who... Sepp Straka had a great tournament. Other guys who were hot, Justin Suh, like, he came 15th. You know what I mean? Like, Block didn't win, and we have other guys who finished above or with him.
But he was 15th. Was the worst that a position of his during the, like, almost the entire golf tournament. Like, this guy was in the mix after Thursday and Friday, and what was he, 10th going into Sunday? At even par. I mean, no, I know it's very outlandish. Man. I want to talk it into fruition because it's just such a compelling story. It's so amazing for the PGA Tour. And, like, this guy can play. Like, I think that's the thing that I'm taking away from it. It's like, I don't think you luck out 4 days at Oak Hill just pretending to be a good golfer. Fair. You know, like, I don't think you can do that. Like, it's the toughest test all season long.
I'm kind of expecting.
You expecting a miscut?
I could see it, but I don't think so. I think I'm thinking more of Ceiling is around that 12th area, 12th place. And my, yeah, my floor is, yeah, maybe just make the cut.
Okay.
I'd be very upset if you missed the cut, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he's got to make the cut to keep this train rolling in terms of all the media and everything. He's got to at least make the cut. I think everyone's happy, though, if he makes the cut. You know what I'm saying? I think people are still pretty fair on their fandom with them, for sure.
Which is a good thing. So, hypothetically, I've got one more tad bit about Brooks Koepka to get into.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay, so what does the PGA Tour do if he makes the cut at both of these events and is in the mix, maybe, at one of them?
Block?
Yeah.
If he... Like, are you saying, do you give him a card?
Do you give him... Do you give him temporary status?
Have we seen like an exemption card before, or is he just
there's temporary status or tournaments? If depending on how the buzz goes, depending on how the numbers are. By the way, one of the worst consumed PGA championships in recent history, which I thought was super surprising. Last year's did I think 5 million. Phil's the year before did 6.7 million. This did just over 4 million. Viewers.
Wow, interesting.
So TV viewers, which is interesting. But yeah, what do you do? Like, I mean, he could get temporary status, but like, I think if you're other tournaments, you're just being like, yeah, we'll just let him in because it's just amazing for viewership.
That's what I'm thinking. I think tournaments just kind of continue to invite him and PGA doesn't need to give him a status like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we've seen a situation like this. I mean, I think
or he'll just play his way in. A top 10 or a top 5 will get him temporary status.
That's my last question is, we're talking about how good he is, and this guy's possibly able to win a tournament. He's finished 15, whatever. Why has he not been on tour? Like, why is he a club pro in California and not a tour pro? Like, why? What's is that decision he made? Or is there something we're missing that he just didn't get it done? Like, I don't even know.
So I guess this is the perspective that I'll give you too. So to make the PGA Tour is probably the hardest grind in pro sports. So if you're not a college stud and you've got to go, like, well, think about Brooks Koepka's story. Like, he was traveling around in Kazakhstan and South Africa on the Challenge Tour, almost quitting golf, gets his break, makes it onto the Korn Ferry Tour, which was formerly called the Web.com Tour, and then you get a chance to play in the PGA Tour. But let's not forget about it. Like, golf, there's good golfers everywhere. It's not like if you go to the Challenge Tour and you're on the PGA Tour, like the guys on the Web.com Tour, like we're seeing Justin Saw, who won the Web.com Tour last year. 2 years ago was Kirk Kitayama. These guys are phenomenal players. And think about the tournaments that they're losing on the Korn Ferry Tour to all of those other good guys. There's so many good golfers in the world, but he's 47 years old, Justin, this guy. Like, so we think, okay, he's been the player of the year in Southern California since he was 39 or 38. Like, at 38, you're not pursuing the PGA Tour. You've got a wife and kids, you know, and he's probably got a happy, you know, a happy life. And, you know, it's a great question. But the funny thing about golf is that the peak of your performance, it doesn't have to be at 25. It doesn't have to be at 35. We saw Tom Watson lose the Open Championship at 59. Like, it's crazy how long a golf career can be. That's a very logical question, is why isn't this guy in the PGA Tour? And the answer is, because it's not easy. It's not easy to get there.
Yeah, fair.
It's very, fair. The sacrifices that all these guys make financially and with their families and where they travel to and paying in all of these events. And if you don't play well, then like, it's like, do I keep going? And it's just the grind to make the PGA Tour is something that there should be a documentary on it. Really should. Because it's not always your John Rahms, your Jordan Spieths, your Justin Thomas, where you're a college stud. Or Rory McIlroy, where you're a stud from 4 years old, and you go on and you get exemptions to these tours at 16, and you come top 10, and then you're in. You know, you're just you're in. So
no, you're right.
But just finally, just a little tidbit here about the LIV Tour. This has been a long golf chat, but I, you know, fair enough because it was just such an exciting weekend. But just finally, obviously Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau. It's going to be a big topic of discussion if they're going to be able to play on the Ryder Cup team. But just think about the LIV Tour and how serious Brooks Koepka's taking the LIV Tour. He's got to tee it up on Friday at the LIV Tour. Guess what he's doing in preparation this week?
I know he was at the Panthers game in his bag.
He was.
I'm sure that's what he's doing all week.
And all the power to him. He deserves to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So tonight, he's at the Miami Heat game on the floor. Tomorrow night, he's back in the box getting buckled at the Florida Panthers game. Then he's going to Washington on Thursday to maybe walk around the golf course to get ready for his event on Friday. So I guess that's the that's where you can kind of, you know, it's anyway, the LIV Tour, the PGA Tour, it's a whole episode we could do, but.
Would you do it any different, though, if you just won the PGA Championship?
Well, no, that's the luxury of playing on the PGA Tour. Yeah. You know, that's if John Rahm wins the Masters, he can say, I'm going to take the week off, boys. I'm going to go celebrate. Crazy. And I think Brooks Koepka should be able to do that. But under contract with the LIV and the Saudis, you got to be there and tee it up. Listen, we're going to move into the NHL world. Obviously, a phenomenal PGA Tour event, and we'll see how Michael Block does. I'm saying he comes in the top 25. That'll be my prediction. Are we going to put him in the predictions for the outright bets? I doubt it. We'll start things off in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, the Florida Panthers, which we saw Brooks Koepka at Game 3 last night. Matthew Tkachuk, Justin, you had a great bid. I had it all pegged up, ready to post. And then Tkachuk goes and he ties Corey Perry and Rocket Richard for the most OT goals ever. I'm like, well, that's kind of out the door. But
unreal. No, it's crazy, man. Like what are the, not even just Tkachuk, like Corey Perry's in there, like the Rocket, I guess. I mean, the problem is they didn't have OT the same way they do now, but like insane stat. We're talking about most OT winners in a single playoff run. The three names are the Rocket, Corey Perry, and Matthew Tkachuk. Is just probably one of the more out of pocket records in the NHL.
It's insane, but
he might beat it. He could beat it.
He certainly could beat it. The way this series is being played out, there could be another OT game. But so game two, obviously we had game one where Matthew Tkachuk walks it off in four overtimes. And game two, he walks it off in overtime. Goes straight to the door with the celebration. Unbelievable. Boys, let's get out of here. I love the celly. And then we fast forward and they're going back to Florida. They're up 2-0. And you're like, okay, well, Carolina's got to respond, right? Well, Sergei Bobrovsky says, hold up. They're now 10-1 in their last 11 playoff games. 10-1. Bobrovsky with a shutout, win 1-0. Are you kidding me? Up 3-0. This thing's over.
Sergei Bobrovsky is getting paid, I want to say, $10.5 million per year.
Yep.
You ask any NHL fan, they're saying that is one of the worst contracts in the league, I would say 2 months ago. And they've been saying that for two or three years since he signed in Florida. My question to you, Greg.
Yep.
He continues this run.
Yeah.
He wins them the Stanley Cup. Obviously, he's not the only one. There's still a debate between him and Tkachuk, Conn Smythe, but et cetera. He wins you the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
How would you ever question that contract not being worth it? You got yourself your first cup in franchise history. Pay him $10.5 million for 8 years, even if he only shows up for 3 months of that contract. It's, you got to think it's worth it.
100%, man. 100%. And you know what? He wins this cup. He's an automatic Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Like, auto.
Two Vezinas, man.
Automatic.
Two Vezinas, maybe a Conn Smythe and a Stanley Cup.
And you said it already. On, he's the only goalie currently playing in the NHL who has two Vezina trophies. This guy's been phenomenal, man. And you know what?
Absolutely.
If you're Florida Panthers fans, you're like, I don't even care that you've been wearing all the flap rims we have in the pro shop at the rink. You've been phenomenal during this playoff run. It's incredible, man. It really is. And you know what? It's awesome for Florida. They're a great story. And you know what? I was reading a little tidbit. I told Justin before this episode, there was a game in early April, and it was between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pittsburgh Penguins go on to win that game. Well, they sneak into the playoffs. The Florida Panthers miss the playoffs, and the Chicago Blackhawks do not get the first overall pick. Unbelievable, man.
Talk about a butterfly effect.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We're talking about Florida Panthers missing playoffs, maybe having to make a move or two.
Yeah, they're probably going to... Bobrovsky's probably gone.
Like, actually, that'd be something that'd be a conversation.
Yeah.
Penguins are making playoffs. You don't know what they would do. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm not even trying to... Whatever. Bruins are beating the Penguins.
Yes.
They are.
Oh, yeah. Happening. Maybe in four.
Now you got Bruins versus the Leafs in the second round.
Yeah.
And again, Chicago's odds are completely changed. They're even worse. We really get to see what the draft lottery means.
Exactly. That's where we could go back in time and see. Chicago's now get the second best odds, and they still win.
You're right, though, but, like, insane, man. Like, if you're the Florida Panthers, what are you sending? What are you saying the Blackhawks? Or are you just saying you guys got Bedard? That's your gift. Thank you very much. Anyways, but seriously, like, they didn't control their own fate. Absolutely something pretty incredible to look back at to say that, like, this team tiptoed their way into playoffs. And Bobrovsky just said, like, midway through the Bruins series, hey, guys, like, I'm just going to go ahead and get us to the Stanley Cup final here. And let's just make this one of the craziest Stanley Cup. I would say this goes up against the LA Kings for craziest Stanley Cups. I believe the LA Kings were the 8th seed. They were down 3-0 in round one.
Yeah.
They came back and won. And I think they only lost, just like this Florida Panthers team, one or two games. So you want to talk about all the major sports playoffs? This again and again and again. Stanley Cup shows hardest trophy to win. It's crazy. And something's in the water in Florida.
Man, the
talk about Miami unreal. Heat as the 8th seed, Panthers as the 8th seed. It's impressive. It's fun to watch.
Oh man, it's been incredible. The playoff, you've got it here in the outline. The tradition of throwing the rats on the ice, amazing. They've got it rocking and rolling there at FLA Live, and you got to be happy for them. And you're right. I mean, we look at, you know, can you imagine if Florida goes on to win the cup, and then Florida and then Tampa Bay with their cups, like in the last few years. I mean, that whole state is just hockey crazy right now, and it's just
Tampa Bay Rays,
phenomenal. I mean, Miami the Bucks were, you know, phenomenal. Bucks just won a Super Bowl. I mean, it's kind of the hot. They're the modern day Massachusetts right now. There's a lot of good teams going on there in Florida, and but. Yeah, like, what can we think for some playoff traditions that in regard to the rats on the ice? I mean, obviously the famous one, you know, that we'll talk about in Detroit, but is there any other? Yeah. And what should teams maybe bring in to start traditions?
I don't even know.
Well, the Hamburglar in Ottawa was amazing.
That was a good one. I'm wondering, Seattle, have they thrown like a salmon or some fish or something on the ice?
Because fish is massive there.
Fish market, right? Yeah, I think that's got to be something.
That's that has for to added, sure. But.
Other than that, like, I'm not thinking even in like other sports, I'm not seeing like every single tradition. Like, Bills have the table, jumping through the table, but that's every game. That's every home game. And it's pretty iconic. But when you talk about four
terrible towel
sports,
in like, Pittsburgh,
you know, the other thing. Yeah. What does MLB have? Cause their playoff is electric, but do they have like I can't think of a team that has trademark patented move for their playoffs, right?
That's where the marketing managers of these sports franchises and the people that are getting paid to market their teams, they have to somehow, whether it's through their social channels, whether it's through their Jumbotron, whether it's through coordination to ticket buyers, you've got to start different types of traditions with these franchises. The Rats 100%. Is a perfect example. The Octopus in Detroit. The Hamburglar was one in Ottawa, but
we got Whiteout in Winnipeg. Huge,
yeah,
right.
The Sea of Red in Calgary.
I think you're right. Like Sacramento Kings are doing the beam. Playoff beam. Like, they're trying that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I don't think the home crowd will ever hate what you come up with if it's kind of a niche to that city or team, right? Like,
absolutely.
I think it just makes that, it just once again elevates the playoff experience.
And then when you know they make the playoffs, you kind of know it's go time for that tradition. Like, you know, it's the hashtag, every time Sacramento makes the playoffs for the next decade, it'll be light the beam. Hashtag light the beam, you know?
And that's the other thing, like, as much as right now, it's kind of like, oh, light the beam, kind of new, whatever. But generation, like the young kids growing up, they're just going to know light the beam, and it's going to be like, they're going to love it, and it's going to become the norm for them. Like, I think every team should kind of find a niche thing to do.
Yeah.
For playoffs.
I really like that. I think you're right, man. And just finally, let's talk about playoff beards in the NHL. And, you know, I think back to Crosby's, like how poor his was, but there's guys that rock the beards full season, full, you know, it just kind of through the year. And I think they're at a huge advantage when it comes playoff time, because things just kind of get extra burly. And, you know, I think about Brent Burns and Joe Thornton, like they kind of in San Jose, they were like, you know what, we're rocking just burly beards. But Radko Gudas, does he have the best playoff beard in history?
Dude, this guy's out there for best beard in history. I think this thing doubles the size of his face the way it hangs off. It is absolutely insane. And I respect it.
You know,
another name that's coming to mind? The Scott Hartnell Jakub Voracek duo in Philly when they had the orange, the ginger, yeah, the hair going, like, yeah, Zach Stahl's got right now.
Yeah.
Two of them on one team going on there.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. It's fun to watch kind of the development of the facial hair. But obviously Ekblad's got a nice one on the go, but he rocks one season long. You know,
Lanny McDonald.
The stash.
Stash.
Dude.
How about this guy? This guy was
That stash was so foolish.
I want to say, yeah, this guy was such a veteran, such a hard-nosed player, one, that he just said, scrap the playoff beard. I'm doing a stash. And nobody questioned it.
Yeah.
Nobody questioned it.
People were like, yeah. Did
it and everyone loved it.
Dude, and that was a mean stash, man. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Actually, you know what? Maybe we'll rank playoff beards, maybe we'll draft playoff beards, just as we can do a little bit more research on them. But Radko Gudas, man, that thing there might be some insects in that thing. But let's get into the second series here before we get into the halftime show here, Justin. So we got Dallas and Las Vegas, and again, I mean, you know, it's a little bit opposite to the other series, but Las Vegas takes care of both games at home, and what a wild game too. I mean, you're thinking, okay, Dallas is going to get out of this. And no, Vegas ties it up. They ended up, Chandler Stephenson wins it in overtime. Unbelievable. Aiden Hill's been phenomenal for Las Vegas. And Bruce Cassidy has these guys moving and grooving. And they go up 2-0 into Dallas. I think Dallas is going to get one of these two. But yeah, again, man, we're seeing it. Like I expected the Celtics to respond, and they didn't. So what do you got here?
I know. Same with the Lakers.
I know, man.
What? We thought Celtics, Lakers, and Hurricanes would all respond. I'm still thinking Dallas. I'm thinking of all series, obviously a couple of them are 3-0. This series, I truly believe, could still go seven games. Because Dallas has been in every single game. They've been one bounce away. I guess you could say the same for Hurricanes. But I really see Dallas as a team that could have won in terms of just like the quality of play. That last game, especially game two there, Rope Hintz is probably the leader for the Conn Smythe.
Such a stud.
If any team wins the cup, he's the lock in terms of that team to win the Conn Smythe. It is absolutely insane. But yeah, Aiden Hill, 5-1 in the playoffs. Did not expect to see that. He's been crucial for them because, like I said, I wonder I don't know how much more this team could do if they had like the Logan Thompson or even
Brassard.
Like he's doing everything they need him to do. Like, they are not winning games 6-5 or like a 5-4. Like, he is making massive saves and is such a rock back there. And I think that speaks volumes, a little side note, to both Cassidy, but also Pietrangelo. Like, talk about experience and leadership and Mark Stone. These guys know who's in net. Don't get it twisted that they have a little bit of adjustment and they have awareness in the back of their head when they're flipping a puck out or locking down a D zone, whatever it may be. Like, you know who's in net. Sometimes, Greg, goalie like this going in helps this team play better.
Oh, like, yeah.
They did not look as dominant as they have been lately, especially in the second. Like, again, I think they were more dominant against Edmonton when Aiden Hill went in net.
I think of the David Ayers situation. I always revert back to the David Ayers situation. Yeah. How desperate a team gets, how defensively sound they get, how shut down they get. And they just make the smart defensive moves because they know any quick break, they're vulnerable back there. And it just, I don't know what it is, you know, when you don't have full trust in your goaltender or as he's earning it, is in that process of earning your trust, you just play much more sound defensive hockey. And man, they hung on to that game. It felt like Dallas dominated at some points of the game too. But I mean, I think they need a little bit more from Jason Robertson. This guy, man, you know, he needs to find the back of the net. I mean, this is a 40 goal guy in the regular season. But, you know, as we got tonight, we've got game three. Do we expect Dallas to get back in this series at home? I'm going to ride yes. I've been riding yes across all the series. Dallas gets back in this series.
I agree. We're both on the same page.
Yep.
I really do. I mean, again, we got to remember, they're coming home. So that's a huge factor. Again, we've seen it not work in other cities, in other series, sorry. But coming home, this is far from over. Dallas could absolutely just still win both games at home. That is a sneaky, underrated home playoff crowd in Dallas.
Yeah.
That place gets rocking.
Yeah, man.
Rocking. So I think they could win.
They like their hockey there, man. They love their hockey in Texas. It's crazy.
That's a great market.
Colton Ost, I heard him talk today on a talk show here in Canada. Give a huge shout out to the Dallas Stars. He came on and was about to talk about the PGA Championship. Colton Ost, obviously a broadcaster, former PGA player. He's on the course. He's just a legend. Guys said, "Go Stars." And I was like, okay, these boys, they like their hockey.
If you're looking at just a player's place to play, top five place to play.
100%.
No income tax, yep. Beautiful weather, great fan base. They still love
just
you.
Just great sport like. State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a sneaky good place. One question here before we go on, just quick answer even.
Yep.
Who is more valuable to the Vegas success this season? Bruce Cassidy or Jack Eichel? Honestly.
You know what?
Both huge additions.
Massive
both
additions.
Big moves.
I'll say Bruce Cassidy, man. I think a new voice does so much. We saw the new voice in Boston, what that did for them. Jimmy Montgomery obviously didn't, you know, play out in the playoffs, but just having that new voice, it just does something. And I'm not saying that it's going to be prolonged success for Bruce Cassidy. I'm not saying that he's going to bring this team to, you know, a bunch of cups, but you know, having that new voice, having that new outlook, having a guy come in and connect with the guys, and obviously, you know, he lost his voice in Boston. The guys didn't like him in Boston.
Happens.
DeBrusk wanted
Paul Maurice.
Exactly. Paul Maurice has been bouncing around. He's a great coach, but you just kind of rub the guys the same way. They don't respond to you as you were a fresh voice in the room. And I think back to Bruce Cassidy. David Krejci left the league because he didn't like him. Jake DeBrusk requested a trade because he didn't
Bergeron
like him.
Bergeron
was going to retire, man. And then they all said, you know what? We got a new coach. Let's get him in. Let's go. We'll come back for another run. So I know that he ran a little. We look even at Daryl Sutter. He came and turned around the Calgary Flames. They went to the playoffs the next year. Everyone hates him. They don't want it. They can't stand him. They're boycotting him. And he gets fired.
Yeah. You're 100% right. I'm just looking at this now. Okay. Vegas Golden Knights, Bruce Cassidy's head coach, brand new. Florida Panthers, Paul Maurice is the head coach, brand new this year. Dallas Stars, wasn't
Pete DeBoer
there? And then he Pete DeBoer, is he not
brand
is
new?
His first year or second year?
First year.
Brand new either way.
Yeah.
So Carolina, Rod Brindamore.
Because he was in Vegas. Pete DeBoer got fired out of Vegas.
What a storyline we didn't even touch
on. Wow.
We got 3 out of 4 coaches, brand new voices to get these teams over the humps.
Incredible.
Dallas has been there every year. Vegas has been there. And Florida was the President's Trophy last year who couldn't get it done.
That's insane, man.
There you go. And power of a new voice, man. Power
absolutely.
Of a new voice is huge.
We got to touch about this just quickly before we get into the World Championship and the halftime show. Okay, let's just talk about this. And I don't want to talk about it very long. Think about how amplified the Toronto market is and how much noise they make when they fire their general manager, and it's been a week and a half, everybody analyzing it left, right, and center. I'm still hearing about the Dubas situation, and props to you last episode calling the Pittsburgh Penguins being a spot that Bruce Cassidy might end up in. Kyle Dubas. And Kyle Dubas sounds like he's going to be in Pittsburgh, but I'm sick and tired of hearing it. There's been GMs fired all over the league. Move on from it. People get fired.
Greg, you want to know what bothered me, man? Okay, we're watching. Was it Florida, Carolina? We're watching the conference finals hockey in between the second and the third period in a tie game. You know what half of their broadcast was?
They're talking about that situation?
Dubas being fired.
That's a joke.
Going into the third period of a tie game in the conference final, half of the broadcast during the intermission for them was about Dubas.
Like, it's a fired GM. Are they talking about Brian Burke and Ron Hextall in Pittsburgh? Are they talking about Brad Tree living in Calgary?
No.
Shut up and move on. People get fired in this business. Professional sports is crazy. Yeah. We obviously know how, you know, it's a winning mentality. It's a short lifespan. They're not secure positions. And he got fired.
Why not wait for after the cup when you need to talk about something in the hockey world? 100%.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous how much noise that market makes. Okay, just quickly before we get into the halftime show. Obviously, the World Championships are going on in, I don't know where they are this year. Do you know where they are, Justin?
Latvia.
They're in Latvia this year. So there you go. They're in Latvia. And obviously, Canada, they put a team together over there, and they go over and compete against the European countries. And Canada gets upset by Norway. We sent Milan Lucic over there. It's absolutely outrageous. in regard to, you know, for the world hockey stage, the global stage of hockey, should we be trying to, you know, icy better team than what we're building? Because it's pretty embarrassing losing in Norway. We're the best hockey country. Is that just mean that the tournament is just a complete nothing? Or should these guys from the NHL, like McDavid, like Crosby, like Marchand, like, should they have a little jump in their step by saying, I want to go over there?
Yeah, I mean, I, 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 it's so hard to like analyze. First of all, I know it's not the Olympics. I know it's not the World Juniors, what have you, but the pride of wearing your country's jersey, it's like a week and a half. It's a week and a half of hockey. You're going over to Latvia. Like, you got to think it's a pretty good experience. Like, I could understand possibly McDavid, second round. McKinnon, you were out first round, man. You were ready to play more hockey anyways. Sid, Marshy, like, you guys haven't been out this early in a while, so I could see that argument, and I already know Sid's in Bahamas. Like, that's actually a fact. There's a story about it. Him and his girlfriend are in the Bahamas right now, and I know he doesn't get that very often, but I don't know. It's tough to see them lose to Norway and know who's Canadian from the NHL who's not there. But it's a world championship. I know not many people tune in. What are you going to do? But yeah,
it's the timing of the tournament. It's the timing of they went through the grind of an NHL season. It's just not that appetizing for these guys to go over and compete, but that's going to be addressed, the international competition. Halftime show, blind careers, blind players. Who is better, or who would you rather be? Blind careers. Do you want me to start this things off for you, Justin? I've got a couple here for you.
Yeah, I got two comparisons for you. So yeah, okay. You give me what you got first.
Okay. Blind careers. Player one is a four-time NBA champ, a one-time NBA MVP, a three-time finals MVP, and won the scoring title in the NBA twice. Player two, a four-time NBA champion, a two-time NBA MVP, a one-time finals MVP, and a two-time NBA scoring champion. So do you want me to go over that again?
Give me the finals MVP for both again. Player one is what?
Player one has three finals MVP. Player two has one finals MVP.
And just give me their season MVPs again?
Player one has one season MVP. Player two has two season MVPs.
Wow. So we got one guy showing up in the finals, one guy delivering through the regular season. Both have... What were the rings?
Both four rings.
Both have four. Wow. All right. I'm going to go with... Gosh, two MVPs in the regular season is massive, though. Give me the finals MVP. I'm going to go with player one.
Like it. And we were dealing with Shaquille O'Neal and Steph Curry. So you're taking Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow. Steph Curry was an actual consideration there for me. Like, that wasn't a no-brainer for Shaq.
Yeah.
Shaq with one...
One season MVP? MVP regular season.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Is that the that's a discussion for another time. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Okay. All right. I got an NBA one for you.
Okay.
Okay. Player A, three championships won.
Okay.
In 16 seasons. 13 all-star appearances. No season MVPs. One finals MVP. And his career stats were 22, 4, and 5.
Okay.
Player B, he has two rings compared to the three. 15 seasons compared to 16. Both have 13 All-Star games. Player B has one season MVP compared to zero. Two finals MVPs compared to one. And he has 27, 7, and 4 compared to 22, 4, and 5.
Are we dealing with Dwayne Wade and Kevin Durant?
Oh, Greg. Holy snipe.
Are we?
Oh, my gosh. Are you? That is, that's impressive. Wow, yeah, man.
I was smelling that out. Just with championships, I was thinking Dwayne Wade's won three and he's never won any. And I was thinking Kevin Durant's two for two with his final MVPs. Yeah, I'll go with give me Dwayne Wade. Give me Dwayne Wade over Kevin Durant. But I'm feeling good about myself right now.
Greg, I did not expect that to happen. This wasn't a planned guess who they are, but yeah. that's what Greg's able to pull out of his bag. That's what this guy's got. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, this is a short one. Short and sweet one here. Player one is a two-time Super Bowl champion with two different teams, so one for each team. Player two is a two-time Super Bowl champion with one team. Player one is a three-time passing leader. Player two is a two-time passing leader.
Wow. two Super Bowls with different teams. And how many Super Bowls for the other player?
So, sorry, he's won one Super Bowl with two different teams. So he's won two total Super Bowls. Both have won two. Yeah, sorry. Both.
Yeah, but one's with two different teams. He's won one with two different teams.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then, one is a three-time passing leader in the NFL, and two is a two-time passing leader.
You know what? I know they're pretty well even, and one has an extra passing leader. I kind of like winning one with different franchises. I'm going to go with player two. I'm very interested to see where they are. Nothing comes to my mind right away here.
It wasn't enough hints. So player two is Ben Roethlisberger, and player one is Peyton Manning.
Oh, God, there's so much more info to go there. That is unbelievable. Oh, my God. Wait, so I picked Peyton Manning.
Did you pick player one? Yeah.
Because I picked the Super Bowls of two different teams.
Yeah.
That's unreal. All right, I got last one for you here.
I didn't give enough info there, but that's because I wanted you to pick player. I wanted you to pick player two.
All right, mine is also a football.
Okay.
Here we go. Player A. So both have 18 seasons, okay?
Okay.
Player A has one ring.
Okay.
Four MVPs.
Okay.
One Super Bowl MVP. 10 Pro Bowls.
Okay.
59,000 pass yards, 475 TDs. I'll compare that after. Okay. Player B, in the same amount of seasons, has two rings, no MVPs, six Pro Bowls, 64,000 pass yards, 418 TDs. So no same seasons. Here are the noticeable differences. Player B has two rings to player A's one. Player A has four MVPs and a Super Bowl MVP to player B's zero there. But player B has 5,000 more pass yards than player A.
Is player A Aaron Rodgers?
He's 3 for 3 right now.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Is player B Brett Favre?
No.
Did Brett Favre only win one championship? I'm not sure.
Maybe one or two with Green Bay. I think it was one.
So, okay, so we went 3 for 4. So we're dealing with Aaron Rodgers versus a guy who won two rings. Zero. No, gosh, it's sounding like a guy that I gave you.
But it's outthrown him.
Yeah, for sure. It's sounding like Big Ben. Just a sec.
I can't even do this. I can't do this. This guy goes 4 for 4 tonight. I had him down prior for the listeners, so obviously this wasn't planned.
So it's Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben. Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Obviously, this guy just pickpocketed 4 straight athletes. Greg, hey, maybe we got to give you a little bit more guess the player from the stats challenges here. We're going to run that through. So
yeah,
there you go. Greg. What a segment.
Yeah, I'm loving it. We're going to be bringing those back just for regular segments because I'm a fan of that. But it's easy when you talk about modern athletes and their championships. Yeah. I think so. You know what I mean? Like you can really, and I didn't give you enough information. And in the NBA, it gets a little tougher because, obviously four rings was, there's a lot of guys with four rings. You know, we could have thrown LeBron in that mix. Clay could have been in that mix. Shaq was in that mix. Did Kobe have five? But that's a fun segment. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed that. Let's move into quarter three here because we do have some NBA news to talk about. Obviously, the two series, one of them being over, the second probably going to be over tonight. I mean, it's just been absolutely outrageous. But Carmelo Anthony, Melo, we got to talk about it. He retired after 19 seasons. It was a rocky road for Melo. Like,
yeah,
I think he's a Hall of Famer, but like, I mean, obviously, you know, like, is he like a lock Hall of Famer? I mean, like, obviously he's a, you know, a complete star player. And I mean, a suitcase, mind you, like how many different franchises did this guy play for?
Yeah. And I don't mind. I'm not against Carmelo. I'm not a Carmelo Anthony hater or anything. So I got his accolades up. You want us to run through them here? We'll
fire him up.
If we're going to say right here. We're going to say we are Hall of Fame voters. We're going to give our vote. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Carmelo Anthony, 19 seasons in the NBA. Started his career, just so we can note the teams, Denver, Knicks, OKC, Houston, Blazers, and Lakers. Obviously, we know at the end there, he bounced around. Okay. He was 10-time NBA All-Star, 2-time All-NBA second team.
Okay.
Four-time All NBA third team. So okay. I don't have
no first teams.
First team. I don't have any first teams.
Ooh.
He was a NBA scoring champion in 2013. NBA All Rookie first team. NBA 75th anniversary team. I don't know. Is that just top? Is that top 75
ever? Yeah. Which is crazy to me to think that he made that list. So let's look up quickly here, Justin. How did that team do in 2013 when he led the league in scoring? Did they make the playoffs?
Let me take a look. New York Knicks 2013. Also, just so we have it, he averaged 22.5, 6-2.
Are we saying Carmelo is a Hall of Famer, man? Like, that's top 75 all time. I'm hard pressed to think that that's accurate.
But they do a lot of those things based on like who they like their opinion of perform like ability sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're
obviously he didn't play on great teams. Like clearly he didn't play on great teams.
But is that not a part of like is that
LeBron James also didn't play on some great teams and look where he went.
Exactly. And exactly. I mean, so I got him here. They finished first in the Atlantic Division. It has them. Okay. They lost in this in round 2 and 6.
Okay. Okay.
The Pacers.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to judge. I don't know, man.
I'm not sure I'm giving him the Hall of Fame vote right away.
I don't think I am either, man. I don't think. I mean, it's like I think a lot of people will think this is a really cold take, and a lot of people are going to be upset. And I obviously know, you know, what he did for the game of basketball, how popular the brand of Carmelo Anthony is. But I mean, championships speak volumes. Zero all-time NBA teams. Like what?
3 gold medals in the Olympics.
I mean,
this is a guy. This is a guy. Has one scoring title. So even if we talk, okay, he wasn't on a great team. I mean, it's not like he racked up MVPs and first teams and scoring titles and et cetera. Like no MVPs, no first teams, one scoring title.
So how many guys in the league right now are better than Carmelo Anthony? Jokic, LeBron.
Yes. Giannis.
Giannis.
AD I'd put up there, obviously. Okay. LeBron, but
Steph.
Anthony Davis I'd have in there. Steph for sure. Yeah. Clay's in the Hall of Fame right away.
Yeah.
Compared to this.
Yeah, for sure. I would say maybe
Kyrie's got a ring.
Kyrie. What about do we put Luka? Probably eventually.
Yeah, if he stays on this track.
Yeah, eventually.
What about Booker? Booker's a good comparison.
Yes.
Booker's got the first teams though.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an MVP. I don't know if he's led the league in scoring yet. He's maybe
like if Booker retired now, he's not a Hall of Famer. No chance.
So then I think that's pretty comparable to Melo, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
even that 03 draft class, most of them, like Wade was in it, Bosch was in it, LeBron, they played together, got rings. Like, I think, I don't know. I know NBA is a lot different than like hockey and football. Championships are why you play the game.
Yeah, man.
We're talking about Hall of Fame. Like, that's the best.
And like, plus two, like he was bounced around so much, man. Like obviously Denver, New York, and then at the end of his career, man, LA, Portland, like was just bouncing around. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're being extremely disrespectful. I just like, I don't know if we're completely wrong. But just looking at the accolades, I don't think.
I got to say this, and I got to say that I didn't watch a ton of Melo because obviously he was a little ahead of my, NBA, like 03 to 2010, I'm not remembering everything that happened in terms of watching the game. But when I watched the game, Damian Lillard for me,
yes,
I remember him being a anytime whenever he wants to score. Compared to like
maybe Dame, Dame is a better comparison. Man, maybe Damian Lillard and Carmelo Anthony is that a good comparison of types of players?
I don't mind that at all.
But Dame's been Mr. Loyal, man. Dame's been like. I think the Celtics are going to trade for Damian Lillard this offseason. But listen, let's get right into it here. Ooh. Boston Celtics, Miami Heat. The Boston Celtics, well, they find themselves down 3-0 in a huge surprise. The number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference is down to the number 8 seed. And the Heat have just been dismantling the man. You know, what's going on with that trio of Tatum, Smart, and Brown? You know, like, go ahead.
I don't know if you're seeing it. Are you seeing a lot of the talk about the dynamics and like the personality and the egos of being a problem? And then you got the head coach here, Mazzulla, talking about a disconnect with the team. Like, I think there's a lot more going on than just X's and O's systems and gameplay that they're getting beat. I'm thinking like they got some issues within the team of who should be getting the ball, who should be taking the shots. But then again, Tatum hasn't delivered every single night in ways we've seen the best players in the league do, where he demands that ball and it's unquestioned. There's a lot of people that think Jaylen Brown could be a number one on a lot of teams. I don't know what your take is on that. I'm not a huge fan of that, or I'm not thinking Jaylen Brown's going to be a number one on a team and lead them to a championship. Whereas I could see that from Tatum. He's still young. I struggle to understand why Smart has the ball so often and he's shooting so much when Tatum's who he is. And I see Jaylen Brown like great number two, like a Clay, like a next option for scoring.
Yeah, 100%. But it seems like it's kind of like those two will just take turns. That's what it seems like to me. It's like, okay, Tatum's going to go down the court and he's going to have five attempts. And then it's going to be the Jason Tatum, or it's going to be the Jaylen Brown show. I don't feel like they've got like a great chemistry in regard to, you know, work on the offense. And I mean, they've struggled. Like you said, Jason Tatum hasn't been consistent. We saw the 51-point game. He's got the record for the most points in the game seven. But this series, they're getting dominated. And do they have that extra gear of digging deep? Like, we're going to see it tonight. Like, this is a team that when they're clicking and when they're going, don't get me wrong, they're unbelievable. And it's the defensive side of the ball. Like, they got to lock it down. But you look at a guy like Jimmy Butler's in their kitchens. He's just talking to them all game. He's in their friggin' faces. And here's a little stat for you. Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, he lost to Jimmy Butler in college. Jimmy Butler knocked him out in college.
That's a mental win for Jim.
Yes.
People don't understand how much that matters.
Yeah, man. That's anyway.
But here's my question. You're the Celtics fan. I got to defer to you. You've watched them more than I have in the last number of years. With you'll know the name. Last year's head coach. I'm blanking on his
name. Udoka.
Udoka. Tell me this defense and what you saw from this team wasn't night and day from the defense you see. Like, take away the offense side of the ball. They don't look like the team they were defensively last season.
No
season last season.
Marcus Smart was the defensive player of the year last year. This guy could guard anybody last year, man. And Ime Udoka, I mean, him leaving has really kind of thrown this team into a spiral. And obviously we know Mazzulla came in and has done a fantastic job, but has he been the same? And, you know, it's his first opportunity to be a head coach in the NBA. Is that kind of a tough team to take over, a team that's right in a window of trying to win championships?
Expectations. You're right. Expectations right away. Not much time for him to learn the ropes, right?
And how much value should we be giving, or how much credit should we be giving to Eric Spoelstra? I mean, this guy's been a machine. He's a rock for the Miami Heat, and he's got such great experience with bringing teams to the finals and how to play playoff basketball. And it's just been a lopsided coaching outing in regard to Spoelstra and Mazzulla and Boston. They're on the brink of, and it's never happened before. Never happened before. 3-0 down.
Eric Spoelstra, while we're on the topic of him.
Yep.
Two-time NBA champion with the Heat, obviously.
Yep. Do you have any good teams during those?
Yeah, pretty good. But no coach of the years.
Okay.
But got voted as a top 15 coach in NBA history. What's your take on that? Two-time champion, top 15 coach in NBA history. He has an NBA championship as an assistant. And he's got no coach of the years.
I don't know if that speaks volumes to like the lack of good coaching in the NBA, or if that's just a complete joke. Because I'd be hard pressed to think, like, you're telling me there hasn't been 15 better coaches in the history of the NBA better than this guy? Two championships. I guarantee he wasn't even involved.
Did they just give every coach of the year to Popovich in that time? I don't even know. I don't know how
Doc,
I don't know who they are.
Doc Rivers got to be on that list.
Doc, okay, I got the list right here. We're going to rattle through them.
Okay.
Top 15 coaches in NBA history. Red Auerbach.
Phil Jackson.
Coach of the 50s. Larry Brown. Chuck Daly. Red Holzman. Phil Jackson. Casey Jones. Steve Kerr. Don Nelson. Greg Popovich. Jack Ramsey. Pat Riley. Yeah,
yep.
Obviously. Doc Rivers. We'll check in with that later. Jerry Sloan, Eric Spoelstra, Lenny Wilkins.
See, a lot of those names just kind of go over my head. I'll be completely honest with you, man. I'm not gonna pretend like I recognized any of those names outside of about five. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about the history of the league and like the greatest coaches. Like, obviously, we mentioned Phil Jackson because of the Bulls runs. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah,
six. Six of the 15 coaches on that list, six of the 15, only one championship or less. Two have none.
Like, who in 2016, who was the coach for the Cavaliers? Lou?
Tyronn Lue.
Tyronn Lue. Is Tyronn Lue in that list? Because he won a championship with LeBron. Like, congrats, right. Spoelstra.
It's also interesting they have a list of top 15, but then you got Red Auerbach, 9 championships. You got 11 for Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr with 4, Greg Popovich with 5, Pat Riley with 5. Why not just make this a top 5 list?
Yeah. Because
everyone else is on a different tier.
Yeah.
Like, actually, joking aside, like,
yeah,
I don't understand how 3 guys have no championships and they're considered, like, in this list with those guys.
It's, yeah.
I don't know. You need tiers.
It's interesting, man, for sure. But yeah, I mean, the Celtics are down and they're down 3-0, and it's never happened in the NBA history where a team has come back from 0-3. So we'll see what happens.
Do they get a game?
I think they get a game. I think they show some stones, they get a game. Yes, I think they do.
I think they get waxed.
Okay.
Okay. But we'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
I think this could actually be, this could be a comeback, but we'll see. Moving into the next series, because that was a sweep. That was a full-on sweep. The Denver Nuggets take care of the Los Angeles Lakers. And, I mean, through the first 3 games, Jamal Murray shooting over 50%, 35 points per game. Nikola Jokic, triple-double machine. He's the best player in the NBA. I don't care about the arguments. I don't care about the MVP talks. Jokic is the best player in the NBA right now. He's an automatic bucket, and then if he can't get the bucket, he's dishing it. It's tough to deal with this man. He's also a massive human being. And the supporting cast for the Denver Nuggets, we've talked about it all playoffs long. Justin's been bullish about it, except he switched sides during this series, which was an interesting take.
Yeah, we're going to act like that didn't
happen. Yeah, I think so.
Let's move forward.
Yeah. Michael Porter Jr. has been phenomenal, man. He had the most assists he did all season long. Aaron Gordon getting into it with LeBron. I mean, this team is poised to win the championship. They've been the best team in the NBA from start to finish, and it seems like they're going to finish it off. It seems like they're poised to win no matter who comes out of the East. I think Denver is the cream of the crop in the NBA, but LeBron, interesting, man. After the game, he's unsure about his NBA history or in terms of where he's going to go, if he's going to come back. I would love to see him play with Bronny after a year of college, but, I mean, this guy is just, you got to think his body's falling apart because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, basketball players go through it. I mean, running up and down and playing on the hard court, jumping up and down, like, that's tough on the body. LeBron's been doing it for so long, but how'd you feel about this series, man? It was a rinsing.
Yeah, talk about gameplay first. I think the Denver Nuggets, kind of a good pivot off the Celtics. I think they're the complete opposite. I think they're phenomenally coached, and I think they know exactly what their team is. And that's Jokic is the 1, Murray is the 2, and those other guys are going to be just ready to rip from 3 when that ball comes, and they're going to deliver at a good clip, right? Like, this team is Jokic and Murray, but the thing that's different from this team than most teams and why I was so high on them to win the West and why they're able to sweep the conference finals and roll like they are is that if Jokic and Jamal Murray aren't stroking it right away in the first half at a high clip, or they're not putting carrying the team per se in the first half, Michael Porter Jr. is a capable player. Aaron Gordon is a capable player. Caldwell Pope's a capable player. Even Braun steps in and makes an impact for them. Like, what I'm saying is, like, this team is such a unit, a cohesive unit, that they don't very often give up runs at a rate or a length that buries them. The Lakers had 21 points from LeBron in the first half, and Denver was just there, and they were able to chip their way back in it and just never looked panicked to me like this game was just over. LeBron had 21 points and couldn't miss a shot, and I think they were up by like 4 points most of that first quarter. So, again, I just think this Nuggets team is so deep and so, again, well-coached, well-systemed that they're just such a cohesive unit, and I really, I'm not getting it. We got to see who wins and how the Miami series finishes, because I've basically said Jimmy Butler's not going to get it done every single round since, so I guess I might have to bite my tongue here. But as it stands, it looks like Denver's the team to win the finals.
It's Denver's championship to lose, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
agreed. And I think I'm not going to lie, I think the Lakers kind of outkicked their coverage. I mean, obviously in the first round, they got the Memphis Grizzlies, who had just the most dysfunction we've seen in the NBA. You know, it was kind of a little bit of an organization that was, walking on glass, walking on eggshells, and they took care of them. And then they had the Golden State Warriors, who we know, they had just a brutal season. They weren't the same team from the year prior, with all the dysfunction they had going on with the beef with Draymond and Jordan Poole, their inability to win on the road. And so their road to the finals was a little bit light. And then they ran into a team who they know what they are. They know how to win. They've been the best team all year long. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll see if the Celtics can grab one. I mean, I don't expect them. I mean, it's never been done in history. So it sounds like it's going to be a Miami Heat-Denver Nuggets finals, and we'll preview that on Friday.
Question for you about LeBron before we turn off of it. So, again, you watch him out of that tunnel. It did kind of look like he internally felt like this may have been his last go at a deep run like this. So I asked this question.
Yeah.
Age is a factor.
Yeah,
absolutely. You could tell he doesn't have the same step. The fact that he averaged 30 points per game on 50% shooting is just a lunatic ability in his game that he can now shoot and has the mind to succeed. But why not? Is it crazy to think take a year off, like that retirement, but come back, maybe only play like 40, 50 games and then play in the playoffs or whatever. But when Bronny comes back, you're fresh for maybe 2 years with your son. Like, are we going to knock LeBron that bad if he just says, like, I'm old, my body's not what it was, this is a grind, I'm going to step away from the game, and I hope to come back maybe for another year or two. Like, I don't know. We've never really seen something quite like that honesty in it, but
MJ did.
What would your reaction be? Yeah, he did. What would your reaction be if LeBron said, like, I'm going to take a year off, I've always wanted to play with my son, I'm going to get my body in the position to help a team contend again, but I'm going to need a year to do that, or I'm only going to play 50 games next year, what have you, in the regular season.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. This was not the last we've seen of LeBron James. LeBron James will have his retirement tour. There's not a player in sports history that I am convinced this guy wants the retirement tour. This guy wants all of the attention, which he deserves, but he wants to go into every arena on the road, get his flowers, get his pictures given to, like, LeBron. You know, like, he will be back. Like, this was not his last season. He wants the full retirement celebration, which he'll get. But yeah, I mean, I could see that being a realistic option. I mean, I don't know how people would take it, or just sign with a team and be on Kawhi Leonard, you know, terms where you play 20 games, just, you know, load management to the extreme. But yeah, we'll see what happens, man. I obviously, his years of playing his 82 games and you know, willing a team to the finals, like, he needs to sign a cheaper deal with the team that can win if he wants to win another championship, which I think would be compelling. You know, why not sell, you know, why go a 1 year deal on like a $20 million contract and go to somewhere you think can win? Go join. Anyway, I'm not going to speculate where he could, but it's an interesting take, Justin, for him to maybe sit out a year and then come back with Bronny. But I don't think he would go with a full year of not being around the game, but I could definitely see him being on like major load management with the team.
Agreed.
Maybe goes to Denver.
Maybe Denver drafts Bronny. LeBron signs. Hey, that'd be something, man.
I don't know. They won't have a low enough pick.
Jokic doesn't want to play with a player like that, I don't think. I don't think that fits Jokic's
His MO.
Ego. Yeah.
All right, folks. Just finally, in quarter four, we've got a little MLB to talk about. And we're going to start things off with the Blue Jays because they are an absolute dumpster fire right now. They are in a huge slump. They've now fallen to the basement of the division. They lost four in a row against the Baltimore Orioles. They lost last night to the Tampa Bay Rays. And you're thinking, okay, we got Bassett on the mound. He's been phenomenal. He's 3-0 in his last three starts. Hasn't given up an earned run. He gets the call. Let's turn things around in the trop. We got a guy, Trevor Kelly, across the mound from him for Tampa Bay. Well, Tampa Bay pulls a classic. Trevor Kelly gets two clean innings. They pull him. They go to their bullpen early. And Bassett gets blown up, man. They're down 3-0 early, and it's just kind of digging out of a hole the rest of the game. It's tough to watch right now for Blue Jays fans, and they've lost five straight. I mean, what have you garnered from this team, man? It's just inconsistent. Like, they've got the pieces there. They've got the team to do it. They just can't get clicking at once. It's like playing a golf round where you hit every fairway, but you're hosel shanking your irons.
Absolutely. And we're sitting in a situation. I got to say, it's 8:20 PM. We're recording this on Tuesday. The Toronto Blue Jays are actively up 10-1 on the Rays right now.
Response.
In the fifth inning. So good response, obviously, but no, you're right. Like, even with this win tonight against the Rays, they've dug themselves a little bit of a hole in terms of chasing them. Which is odd because they have such successful players right now, but it's the depth that's killing them. Bo Bichette, most hits in all of the MLB. He hasn't missed a beat since the beginning of the season. He's been hot right out of the gates and has kept it going for almost 50 games now. Gausman pitching, second most strikeouts in the MLB. It doesn't speak fully to his game, obviously, as a whole, but still, he's chopping them up right now. Vladdy and Chapman. Vladdy's been solid.
Chapman's been well phenomenal.
Above his pay grade.
Phenomenal.
Way above his pay grade. So, I don't know. It's tough because when your stars are going like that, it's concerning that the rotation, which we talked about, would be maybe what holds them back, and we need that to be consistent and play above what their expectations are to a degree. And they're not doing that, and that's what's keeping them from that's what's struggling for them. But we also did say, if the Blue Jays get this pitching rotation to peak at the right time, they do have a roster that could compete for the World Series. Again, if it peaks at the right time. So, man, they got to keep themselves. It seems like it's going to be a season where Jays fans need to look for them to keep themselves afloat, be in the playoff hunt most of the season, clinch it, get that peaking at the second half of the year into that playoff run where they have the bats and the weapons to make a deep run. It's just they got to figure it out on the mound.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been inconsistent in the rotation, no doubt about it. Their bullpen's actually pretty bad, so they will have to address that probably at the deadline. Alec Manoah, like, what the heck was Schneider thinking, man? In the sixth inning, makes his second mound appearance, boom, out of the game automatically. Whether Rule was visually upset, I mean, you just can't have that, you know, and just little mistakes like that can hurt your team in the long run. Yeah. So obviously a bonehead mistake there. But then you look at the rest of the division, man, and the Orioles have won seven of 10 and the Yankees have won 8 of 10. It's like, you can't have these two biggest slumps. Like, obviously they're going to get things back on track tonight. But they can't look back and they can't be satisfied. I mean, you've got to go reel off a lot of series wins, because like we said, I mean, you have a big slump like this, it's not favorable to your playoff chances whatsoever in this division.
Again, and as we record this, Orioles up 4-1 over the Yankees right now. So we're looking at a team now who's going to be two games back of the Rays. And the Rays had one of the most historic starts this season ever. Like, it's time to say this Orioles team is legit and is an absolute contender for the playoff spot. And then anything, obviously, outside of that is just profit for them. But, yeah, to say the least about the Jays being last in the playoffs, which... Just talking about the AL East as a whole, the last place team in the AL East is only three games back of the wild card spot. Like, that is just one of the most competitive divisions of the league. But it's gonna be fun to watch play out, say the least.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the Texas Rangers, my man. 29-17. They've, you know, obviously had some great moves in the offseason. You know, bringing in, I can't think of his name right now, pitcher from the New York Mets, Jake DeGrom. Thank you. And they also brought in Semien, if I'm not mistaken, from the Blue Jays as well. So, I mean, they brought in some pieces. Obviously, you know, they look fantastic. And is it a big surprise? I'm not sure we can go there. I think people had these guys, you know, being a pretty competitive team, but it's hard to look past that. What is a big surprise is the team that has spent more money that I didn't even think was possible. The San Diego Padres are 21-26. Like, what is going on in San Diego, man? You bring in Soto, you bring in Xander Bogaerts, you got a healthy Tatis, and you find yourself 21-26, and you've got a great rotation too. Like, what is going on there, man?
It's crazy because that's a team that was World Series predictions for most people in a big way. And honestly, last year, if Tatis doesn't get suspended, I think they would have really pushed for the World Series, if not been in that World Series. So kind of insane to see them struggle like this. They got to figure it out. That's a team that you can't be paying this much money and let these kind of years go to waste. Whether it's a trade, whether it's they just need to find the bats, find the pitching. Like, they got it in their clubhouse, I think. So I don't think you got to revert to a trade. They got to figure it out soon though, because they're not a team that should be battling for a wild card. They should be competing for like top of the division and home field throughout the playoffs. So, but they're also a team that's capable of going 18-3 in a run. And like, so yeah, they're gonna have to be a team that absolutely catches fire in the second half. And I think they have the ability to do it.
I think so, too. I think they can turn this around, man. It is a tough division, don't get me wrong, but I think they've got the star power and the lineup to do so. Pete Alonso, he's at 17. Is he going to sniff 60?
He's rolling. And, hey, these are hitters.
Grab him in bunches. Grabs them in bunches.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, he could go on a run of 10, 15, sometimes these guys go 20 games they hit 15, 20 home runs in those stretches. That's a quick burst for him that could happen. So, and what this is about the time of his career, he'd absolutely be doing it. Like, he's been so steady last few years. I could see him, I could see us sitting here 50, 55 home runs, really watched it at the end of the year to see him hit that 6-0 number.
I'll have to dig that up there, that clip.
Absolutely.
You know, if we get to that point. But I remember last year at the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby, and obviously that's his event. He loves that event.
Loves and it.
It was the milkiest performance I've ever seen in my life. Him walking around pre... It was like he was getting ready to walk out for the Stanley Cup Final Game 7. It's like, buddy, let's tone it down just a bit. And just finally here, before we shut things down, Justin... Clearly, this guy is one of the biggest idiots in broadcasting history, but Oakland Athletics' Glenn Kuiper, he will be done broadcasting after dropping the racial slur on air. Horrible mistake. But you know, that'll cost you your job, buddy.
Absolutely ridiculous. But we'll finish on a different note. We'll finish on a positive note. As we're sitting here, 6 minutes into the Vegas-Dallas game, 2-0 Vegas Golden Knights. Quick.
Wow. Yep.
We got goals from Marchessault and Barbashev. Barbashev's got 2 points already. So this is a series.
Wow.
Obviously, quickly just say it. Dallas has about 50 minutes of hockey to really, really show something. Otherwise, we're looking at a big-time Vegas-Florida Stanley Cup Finals here in a big way. And these two teams on the brink of sweeping very early. It's 2-0. But on the brink of...
Unbelievable.
Wait, NBA, 2 sweeps, NHL. What is going on? I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, awesome, awesome time of sports. Everything's getting down to the point of the here where we're handing out trophies, which is obviously the best thing to see. So yeah, fire up.
Guys, look for our picks for the Charles Schwab Challenge on the socials tomorrow. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Friday, Saturday morning. Everybody enjoy your weeks.